Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans and Matthew. Let us listen for the word of God. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reaper, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
The Reverend Dr. Jennifer Benjamin Brooks teaches preaching at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary in Evanston, Illinois. She formerly served congregations in the New York Annual Conference. That's the annual conference around New York City. And she remains very active in her conference and within the United Methodist Church. She is the author or editor of a number of books, including a brand new book from Abington Press entitled Black United Methodists Preach, which is a really unique book in that you can read sermons by a variety of preachers, and then there will be a special internet address so that you can actually watch on the internet the pastor deliver the sermon that you've just read. She has copies of that book and other books that she has written with her, and Pastor Teresa will be upstairs with her in the social hall after the service where you can look at her books, and there are copies for sale, and she is willing to sign your copy. Dr. Brooks was one of the nine original signers of the 2011 petition by African American scholars and pastors to end discrimination against gay and lesbian people in the United Methodist Church, a very prophetic and heroic stand that this group of scholars and pastors took. They especially focused on ending discrimination against LGBT persons in the ordination process. We've asked her to share a word for a Washington, D.C. congregation in the midst of a presidential election season. And we're grateful for her willingness to make room in a very busy schedule to spend the weekend with us here at Foundry Church.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you all. I want to begin by expressing my appreciation to Dr. Dean Snyder for inviting me into his pulpit. As I said this morning, it was a surprise when I got the invitation, and then they said I was part of an outstanding preacher series, and I thought, who lied to this boy? Thank you to Kirsten. Where's Kirsten? I saw her before. Kirsten Pelton. Conscientiousness, keeping up with me by email, quick responses, just making sure that everything was done right. Thank you so much for your work. And to my new best friend, Jim Early. Where is Jim? Jim Early. If y'all ever saw Dreamgirls, there's a Jimmy Early. Very different person, but he's been ferrying me around, and I'd love him for it. Thank you so much. Before I begin, I want to acknowledge a few people in the congregation. Reverend Denise Pickett, who traveled with me from, she's from New York, but we traveled from Illinois, where she was spending a few days with me, to be with me, to kind of, she's kind of become kind of my armor bearer. I want to bless her for being here. Thank you, Denise. And then I ran into a woman who I haven't seen for a few years, Ruth Jazz. Ruth, where are you? We know each other. Ruth, raise your hand, from BMCR, and she left her church where she's supposed to be liturgist this morning to be here. Bless you. And then my good buddy, Bobby McLean, who is one of the best preachers I've ever heard, just a wonderful homiletician, teaches over at Wesley. Bobby, thanks for coming. And a good friend of mine who is responsible for me going and doing a PhD had nagged me into actually not doing a PhD for being where I am, Ian Straker, who fussed at me to apply for the position that I had long before I was finished my PhD, and he's here with me this morning. Thank you, Ian, for being here. I bless the Lord for all of you, and I ask now that you would please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fill our hearts and our minds. Use me as your preacher, O God. Allow the words that come from my mouth be appropriate for all of our lives. And God, hide me behind your cross so that the words that I speak, the words that come from my heart, may be in accordance with your will. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard of the term radical hospitality? You know what radical hospitality? Okay, you know, you've heard about it, right? Some years ago, the United Methodist Church decided to have a slogan that they call radical hospitality. And churches came up with all kinds of imaginative and inventive ways in which to invite people into the congregation. They were after what was then called the searchers. People who were searching, I guess, for a church home, searching to figure out their lives. But the whole idea of radical hospitality was to get more people into the church. Trust me, I didn't jump up and down about it because I thought that they missed the mark. They missed the mark that when their focus was on numbers, on getting people into the church, what they were missing was the whole idea of Christian living, holy life. One of the things that the slogan and the whole idea around it did not cover, in my estimation, remember I'm the one talking here, is that while they were trying to get numbers, they were not telling folk, when you come in here, we expect you to change your ways. I'm looking at the man, the person in the mirror, and I'm asking that person to change his ways. You come among us, you need to change. You need to live the life of a Christian. You need to live a holy life. Worse than that, they didn't tell him how hard it was. It is hard to be a Christian. It's very, very difficult to live a holy life every day of the year. If you have not found it so, you can go to sleep because this sermon is not for you. It's for all of us who understand that trying to live up to the mandate of Jesus Christ ain't no easy thing. Let me start, before I get to Paul, let me start with Jesus. Here's what Jesus wants us to do. Now tell me if the boy ain't crazy. Love the Lord your God with heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's not easy business. Who on earth is he talking about? Who? The rich young ruler asked the question. It's a question we're still asking. Who is my neighbor? Who are these folk that I am supposed to reach out to? Okay, put a pin in that, and let's go to Paul now. Paul complicates the matter. Listen to what Paul wants us to do. Tell me if this person ain't lost his mind. Genuine love. Hate everything evil. Well, evil sometimes is hidden. We can't always find it. Hold fast to what is good. Who says what is good? What's good for me may not be good for you. Love one another with mutual affection. Anybody who ever been on the wrong side of a relationship know mutual affection don't always work. Outdo one another in showing honor. Well, it depends. Don't lag in zeal. Zeal for what? Be ardent in spirit. There's all kinds of spirit beside the Holy Spirit. Serve the Lord. True, but how? Rejoice in hope. It's hard to hold on to hope when things are not going right. Be patient in suffering. I don't get that one at all. What's this whole deal about suffering? I don't see that I need to be suffering anything. Persevere in fear. Well, yeah, I do pray every day. Contribute to the needs of the saints. I try to tithe, but sometimes it ain't easy. Extend hospitality to strangers. That's a long list. 13 items in that list that Paul wants us to do in order to truly be Christian. Now tell me if that's not crazy. Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's the deal. All of those things add up to what our founder John Wesley called a holy life. And the thing about this whole radical hospitality business, as I said before, is that it did not really talk about the requirement once you came in about living a holy life. Earlier in that same chapter, in Romans chapter 12, Paul in fact begins by telling the folk, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, as Wesley would have preached it, and I know what I'm talking about. I studied Wesley. Read my dissertation. I studied Wesley. Live a holy life. Now, if we were going to be here for 3 or 4 hours, I could go on and on and on about all those 13 things. But I don't know about y'all, but I think 15, 20 minutes of sermon is enough sermon time. So in the short little time that I've got, I'm going to go to one thing. The last one, extend hospitality to strangers. Think about it. It is not easy to do that. First of all, the world around us is not necessarily Christian. Scholars say we live in a post-Christian world. Do you know what that means? If you do, I won't tell you, but some of you look like you don't know. All right, I'll tell you. A post-Christian world means, for the scholars, that Christianity is not advancing or is not even holding the place it once held in our Western world. Now, the one thing they're forgetting is that over in Africa, in the third world countries, as they call them, Christianity is flourishing. But for us here in these Americas and in the Western world, it is post-Christian. But what is even sadder is that for many of us who call ourselves Christian, and many of our churches, not this one, we are living the life of a post-Christian. What I mean by that is Christ does not hold a predominant place in our lives, so that as we live our everyday life, not Sunday life, our everyday life, Christ has a predominant place in our lives. Instead, what happens to us is that we are busy trying to keep up with life out there as we know it. All of us, in some way or the other, are reaching for that brass ring. And we're not even recognizing that it's tarnished, it's rutted. No point reaching for it. When you get it, it's going to burn your hand. We're listening to the world that tells us, look out for number one. Some are in and some are up. Some are down and some are out. And we are called to live in that world the same way the people to whom Paul is writing were living in their world. Let me back up a little bit and tell you about what they were going through, the Romans. What was going on was that they were living in a decadent Roman society. Now, there are some people who say we have gone back to that time. I'm not there with them, but that's what was going on. And they were being persecuted for being Christians. We're not exactly being persecuted for being Christian, but somehow we have kind of lost our way as to exactly what it means for us to live that holy life and extend hospitality to strangers. Now, you might think that since in Paul's list, the idea of hospitality to strangers is last, that it's not that important. But it's not a hierarchical list. It's just a list of things that we are to do. So we come back to the question, who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to reach out to? It certainly can't be those homeless, smelly people out there. I am not inviting them to my home. That's why I live in a gated community anyway. Why should I have folk around me who are differently abled than me? What is that about? And those folk out there who choose, well, it's not even, they'd say it's not a choice to love differently than I love. I don't get it. Why should I have them around me? Well, there's a reason. Because it's who God made us to be. You see, the Christ who went up on the cross for us gives us an example of what we should be. He tells us that we are to reach out in love to all people. Now, let's weigh that in line with that parable that you heard. It's a parable that the sister read so well about weeds and wheat. Let me jump ahead and say that for every one of us in this place, at some time, in some way, somebody considered you a weed. And not the other kind of, you know what I mean, not that one. Not that one. Dandelions in a grass, in your nice lawn, weeds, someplace. Maybe you weren't even aware of it, but somebody was looking at you and thinking, get rid of this person. In our society, we look at the immigrants who have crossed our borders, and we forget that we are a nation of immigrants. Just recently, I was reading a book, and it reminded me that some of the very original settlers to the Americas and to Australia were criminals. They were sent here as punishment for things they had done wrong in Britain. Weeds? Well, when you think about hospitality to strangers and those weeds, remember, the native people of this land, they extended hospitality, and what happened to them? Genocide. Maybe that's why we don't want any more immigrants here, why we think they are nobodies. Then we got some homeless people out there who, I was telling some young people that were here this morning, or telling the congregation, we need not look at the homeless, especially in this economy. You can get homeless in a second. A whole lot of us are living paycheck to paycheck, and God forbid we lose our jobs. Listen, if they have their way, pretty soon we're not going to get no unemployment. They're trying to cut it all the time. Without unemployment, can't pay your rent, can't pay your mortgage. You could be homeless too. They are the strangers to which we must open our arms. My sisters and brothers, hear what I'm saying to you this morning. God calls us to reach out in love and compassion to all people. It's a radical notion, isn't it? Yeah? No? It's not radical. It's just Christian. That's all it is. One of the things that stirred my heart last year was the convocation lecture given by Dr. Richard Mao, who is the president of Fuller Theological Seminary. He came to my seminary for convocation, and he said something that stuck in my mind. He said, true hospitality is openness to new ideas. In a sense, I thought, this is radical stuff. New ideas. It's not just about opening your house or opening your life. It's opening your mind to new ideas. In a place where, in a nation where we seem to be going backwards as far as openness to folk, openness to ideas, I think we as Christians need to take up that chance and say, no, we are going to open our minds, and when we open our minds, we open our hearts to the new. And what you will find, at least what I find, is when I open myself up to radical, new, different things, different people, my life is fuller. But it's not easy. Did I not tell you it's hard to be a Christian? It's hard because in our life, we want to hold on to the things we know, and we don't want to do any differently. But this morning, I need to tell you, you can't do that. As Christians, we are called to love the stranger. We are called to love God, yes, but we are called to love even the people we do not know. So how can we do that? Well, I got the answer for you. The most wonderful thing about Jesus. Did I tell you all I love my Jesus yet? Oh, I got to tell you that. I really, 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 really love my Jesus. And you know why? Because Jesus looked at me and filled me with a whole lot of love. And guess what? He looked at every single one of you and filled you with love. Because he filled you with love, you have the opportunity and the wherewithal to be a person of love. See, you can't do it without Jesus. You cannot live a holy life without Jesus. Paul tells them about the righteousness of God because he wants them and he wants us to know that it is only with God in us, directing us day after day, moment after moment, second after second, and every opportunity that life gives us with Christ in us, we can be persons of love. And then, when we are, opening our arms becomes easy. It still is not totally easy. So here's an idea. It's a Christian idea. How about you let Jesus help you? Have you ever noticed what he did on a cross? One of these numbers. Have you noticed what you have to do to receive new people? One of these numbers. But you might get a little tired. So if you simply lean back on him, rest your arms on his arms, he's going to support you. He ain't going to walk out on you. And when you do that, then it becomes so easy to reach out and embrace the new. Because guess what? Christ's arms help you to embrace that new. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's radical. But with Christ, you can do it. You can live a holy life. And when you do, know that it really isn't that radical. It's just Christian. Thanks be to God. Amen.